It's Thursday, the day we read from your letters. Many of you wrote this week about our story on Sayyid Qutb, an Egyptian writer whose work inspired many Islamists. Qutb spent time in Greeley, Colorado in 1949 and was shocked by American sexuality and materialism.
Superb, writes Richard Dorsett from Olympia, Washington. In my work as an archaeologist, Mr. Dorsett says, I've always wondered what it would be like if an American community woke one morning to see a group of Arab archaeologists picking up potsherds in their backyards. Qutb may well be our counterpart, rich with equal misunderstandings.
But Mary Spencer of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, says she was enraged by this story. She writes, on the air, no attempt was made to understand the legitimacy of what Qutb saw, something which I, as a conservative American Christian, and which many social critics of various stripes would agree with, it is very disappointing that All Things Considered wasted their opportunity to demonstrate honest multicultural understanding, which would do so much to help the weak of this world.
Our conversation with author Jackson Lears about the gambling habits of former Education Secretary William Bennett slurred all Catholics, according to listener Michael J. Flynn of Las Cruces, New Mexico.
In that interview, Jackson Lears said, and we quote, Catholics tend to be a little more tolerant toward gambling, partly because there's a kind of magic about gambling. There's a sense in which gambling is a kind of attempt to conjure grace from the cosmos, to bring a little rain of spiritual luck on ourselves.
According to Mr. Flynn, that suggestion is contradicted by several important teachings of the Church. He writes, the good brothers of the Sacred Heart at St. Stanislaus taught us that games of chance are not in themselves sinful. Calling on magic or testing God's love through games of chance, those are serious sins. Betting money that you don't have, that's a sin. And Mr. Flynn concludes, betting on the NFL's Saints, while technically not sinful, is not wise. And though that would not test God's love, it might test his patience.
Tom Grinton writes from Chicago to complain about a reference that Democratic candidates in South Carolina need to figure out how to get NASCAR fans to vote Democratic. He writes, I happen to be a NASCAR fan. I also happen to be a college graduate, a city dweller, an NPR listener, and a member of my local station. Perhaps I'm being overly sensitive, but what exactly was meant by the phrase NASCAR fan? Would that be some sort of caricature of Southern good old boy who wouldn't know Kofi Annan from Idi Amin? NASCAR is the fastest growing sport in America, Mr. Grinton writes and warns, the NASCAR fan you irritate today will be the subscriber you lose tomorrow.
And finally, Kristen McIntyre, a physical therapist from Plain City, Ohio, writes about Robert's conversation with Mary Roach, author of a book about cadavers called Stiff. Ms. McIntyre writes, while taking gross anatomy, our cadaver was presented in the prone, face-down position. We respectfully named our cadaver Harold and proceeded to work diligently on him in this position for the next 2 weeks. Upon turning Harold over, we assessed the situation and promptly renamed him Antoinette.
Ms. McIntyre concludes, I could only hope that my last practical joke would be such a good one. Immediately, I donated my body to science. I encourage others to do so, as the gift of knowledge is the greatest gift that one can give. And one last laugh won't hurt either.
You can send your laughs and your lashings to atc@npr.org. And please remember to let us know where you're writing from and how you pronounce your name.